Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, "And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing." So we are to work quietly, studiously, especially in light of the fact that we're going to be around those, either bosses and or other employees that are without the kingdom of God, and also that we may lack nothing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12.
Being a witness to those around us, you know, the first verse that comes to my mind that in the secular world was always so important as the Lord had quickened my heart would be Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, which says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without," that is, the lost. Them that are without refers to those that are without or outside of the kingdom of Christ. So he says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." That was a powerful verse, and is a powerful verse that I memorized personally years ago, which spoke to me day in and day out, to walk in wisdom toward those around me who were outside of the kingdom of Christ, always being aware that they are watching you to see the difference of that which you profess. So they are looking to see if you have something special. And if you do, if you are in Christ and abiding in Him, overflowing with the love and life of Jesus in love, joy, and peace, they're going to want what you've got. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." 1 Peter 3:15. Okay, Colossians 4, verse 5 and 6 says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man." That's Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Now, the scripture says in Isaiah 43:10, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen." Again, Isaiah 43:10, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen." My first pastor, I remember clearly, used to say things like, "As a child of God, you should be the hardest working, the most diligent worker at your workplace," quote unquote. In other words, he was conveying that God's people are to put in an honest, good day of work each and every day. Titus 2, 9 and 10, "Exhort servants," that's employees or workers of any kind, if you're working for someone else, "exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters," that means bosses, "and to please them well in all things." In other words, you're being paid by them and you are to do what they ask you to do. "Not answering again," in other words, not a person who's always talking back or questioning what is being asked for them to do, but simply doing it. "Not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all all things. This is Titus 2, verses 9 and 10. Notice the word purloining. You will only find that, obviously, in the King James Bible. And this is the only place it actually appears. It's Titus chapter 2, verses 10, not purloining. Now, what does that really mean? Here's what it means. Purloining here means to embezzle by not working hard. And let's read the passage again with that in mind. Purloining meaning not embezzling or stealing from your employer by not putting in a good, honest day's work. Okay, Titus 2, 9 and 10. Exhort servants, that's employees, workers, regardless of the specific arrangement, if you are being paid to do a job as a Christian, you should do it prayerfully with the grace of God, with humility and quietness, and do the best job possible. And such will be a witness for Christ. Again, I encourage you to get to know Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. So in any situation where a Christian is working, he is to be obedient unto their own masters, bosses, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not being one who always talks back, not purloining or stealing by not working hard, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. There's a witness that comes through believers who work hard. They're quiet, they're not busybodies. Believers will cut out all busybody and gossip and evil surmisings, involvement with the other employees. This is constantly happening in wherever you have a group of people working together. And evil surmisings is found in 1 Timothy 6, verse 3 through 5, or evil guessings, as we see addressed specifically in 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5, as they are projecting evil, where you have these circuits, these people who are constantly gossiping, slandering, evil guessing about other people. They're busybodies, and the Bible condemns them. So staying away from all of these things is essential to a clear and good witness for Jesus, which always comes with a clear conscience, which Scripture speaks much about, such as in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now the end of the commandment, in other words, the whole reason for the Word of God and how it manifests in our lives, is charity. Now the end of the commandment, God's ultimate purpose for the Word of God in your life, is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. That's 1 Timothy 1, 5. Also, 1 Timothy 1, 19, same chapter. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Okay, same book, 1 Timothy 3, 9. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Now, you can check out the several times we see the word conscience appear, 31 times actually, in the Bible. Check it out, friend. 1 Peter 4:15 says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters." 1 Peter 4:15. Now, we do have a message, I believe it's in video form, called Learning to Mind Our Own Business. That's a powerful biblical message on staying away from minding the business of other people, which is none of your business. Amen. So the essential importance of Christ's fruit in our lives as a witness for Christ should be of utmost importance to the believer. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 3 and 4 says, "Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. So giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Now, you might not see yourself as someone who is a minister, but if you are truly a child of God, you certainly are a minister of Christ. You are an ambassador for Christ. That goes for all whose lives have been changed as they repented and are born again. They're made new creatures in Christ, and we are all his ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20. Notice Sister Karen Cochran says this on this matter. She says, if you are a true witness for Christ, souls will be delivered from Satan's snare through your life. And I added Proverbs 14, 25, speaking of true and false witnesses. Notice Proverbs 14, verse 25 says, a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. That's Proverbs 14:25. Now, Sister Karen continues. She says, yet if you lie and are a hypocrite, you will not witness Christ to anyone. My mom was talking about one of her bosses who claimed to be a Christian, she says, yet lived in much fear. My mother, who is not yet saved, told me that that lady is a hypocrite and does not show Jesus to anyone. Wow. My mother is not saved, but she recognized this lady was a lying hypocrite. Fruit. People watch. When you say you are a Christian, you'd better live like one. I prayed at that moment that my mom would see Jesus in me and not see me as a hypocrite, unquote. Sister Karen Cochran. If you haven't perfectly, friend, represented Christ since the moment he saved you, well, fret not. That's why we have 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord desires to forgive all of the sins of his people, and he made full provision through the blood of Jesus to initially and continually wash away their sins as they come to him with a sincere, repentant heart confessing their sin. He did give conditions, and God will forgive all of the sins of his people if they will merely come to him in repentance and confess those sins. That's exactly what he's going to do. And remember, saints, honesty goes a long way with God, and so we should honestly go before his throne of grace in repentance and confess all sin, and he will immediately vanquish it. Okay, also, as we come to a close here, Acts chapter 24, verse 16, the Apostle Paul said, these are all great memory verses, and you'll find them, as if you've already written down the reference, that's even better. But they're in the text portion on safeguardyoursoul.com of this message, which, as you can see, is titled, Being a Witness to Those Around Us. Okay, Acts chapter 24, verse 16. And herein, Paul says, do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men? Amen. And you know, I like to remember and meditate upon and mull over and recite this verse also with Matthew, verses like Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. These things always quicken in me a guard and a diligence to uphold the witness of Christ. We're reminded of the verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that says that we are to abstain from even the appearance of evil. Abstain from the appearance of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. Again, abstain from the appearance, even the appearance of evil. So Paul says here in Acts 24, 16, and herein do I exercise myself. This is how I live, he says, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. One of the greatest witnesses to the lost is a life that is pure and that is overflowing with love and joy and peace from Jesus, according to the fruit of the Spirit Spirit listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And this is exactly what this now saved disciple witness, that's myself, in the believers God sent into my sinner life, my life as a sinner. They were absolutely precious. They had love and joy and peace. And this was an extremely strong witness to me, having only known Catholicism. There's no such thing as a Christian who is a Catholic, okay? And anybody who says otherwise is dead wrong and is not a biblical student or one of conviction and does not fear the Lord. You can't be an idol worshiper and a Christian, okay? We have a huge Catholic category on safeguardyoursoul.com. Desktop version, right side of every page, there's a drop-down menu. Just put in the letter C and it'll go straight to Catholic. Okay, so this is what I witnessed as a altar boy, as a Catholic, lifelong Catholic who went to Catholic school in New Orleans, etc. I didn't know anything. I was surrounded by people who were just mean, evil, and sinful like myself with a religion. In this case, being a Catholic. And so when I went in the Marine Corps, for example, there was a guy who was a super mild, loving, warm, always, he was indomitable. And that means a lot when you're talking about Marine Corps boot camp, because they're doing everything to destroy you, to break you down, to eliminate you, because they don't want any weak links when it's time to go to the battlefield. And so there'll be two or three drill instructors, one in each ear and one in your face. They're all giving you a different command that you're expected and required to obey at the same time. It is amazing. But anyway, this guy could not be broken. I was not a Christian at that time. I was 19 years old and he could not be broken. I could never forget that. That was decades ago. And he was a super good brother in Christ. I see that now through the eyes of being born again. And he was one of those witnesses that stands out to me, that was so full of love, joy, and peace. No matter what was going on externally, this man was anchored in Christ. And that made a huge impact on me to see the difference between being a sinner who has a religion and somebody who has an actual relationship with Jesus Christ, which begins at repentance. Acknowledging that you are a sinner and that you are in need of the forgiveness and mercy of a loving God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so this is exactly what moved me again, is people like this man in boot camp who was full of the love of God, full of the love, joy, peace of Jesus Christ, which could come from no other place but heaven from God. And the Lord used this mightily, as many of you can testify. The fruit of the Spirit, you have no idea, friend, if you work a job or around other people, which I'm sure most of us do, you have no idea, none of us do, at how, and I'm trying to make a point here, at how powerful a witness that you can be for Christ by the way you live, by the way you smile warmly through things that other people are just being destroyed by or just breaking down, you know, and there you are anchored in Christ, the Prince of Peace, with a soundness of heart and mind that could only come from God. Amen. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would cause us to be witnesses that would be above reproach, God, would be full of your love, joy, and peace, would be circumspect. We would always be mindful of those who are watching. Father, we come to you now, acknowledging any and all sin for what it is, and asking you to forgive us through the blood of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. And perhaps each of us could pray with validity the following words directly to the Lord. Please forgive me, Lord, of being a self-centered idolater, full of pride and arrogance. Please forgive all my sins afresh in the precious blood and name of Jesus Christ, and take away the stony places of my heart, O God, granting this heart to be an heart of flesh. Unite my heart to fear thy name, dear Lord. and make me your witness from this moment forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.